الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. Before carrying on, one example that came to mind, and hopefully it will help us to appreciate Ramadan, and we apply Ramadan as it is supposed to be applied, and not be neglectful and negligent about Ramadan. And one person was going for a drive with his family, and he came to a traffic light, and somebody was asking for a left there. So when he stopped, he told him, "Sorry, I can't give you a lift because my car is full. I got my wife, I got my children, 3 children at the back. I got no place." So he said, "Okay, no problem if you haven't got place for me, but I'm Mr. Dollar." So he said, "Oh, you Mr. Dollar? Yani dunya, making more money, earning more, having more of dunya." So he said, "Oh, you VIP because you Mr. Dollar, very currency is very strong." So he told his wife to sit in the back seat, and he told, "Come, sit in." They went on. They came to the next traffic light. Then there also somebody was asking for lift again. So he said, "I'm very sorry. I had to put my wife in the back seat. I got Mr. Dollar with me. He's a VIP. So he said, "I can't take you." So he said, "Okay, if you can't take me, no problem. But that is double, almost double of dollar also. Yani more dunya, earning more dunya, becoming more involved in dunya." So he said, "Oh, okay, you must pound, you VVIP, you very, very important." So he told his wife to go and sit in the boot in the car, right at the back. And he told Mr. Dollar, "You sit in the back seat and let Mr. Pound sit here." So they went in front again, another traffic light, again somebody asking for left. So he said, "Impossible, my car is completely full. I'm so busy in dunya, I got no time for anything, my car is full. See, even I had to put my wife right in the back seat, right in the boot I had to put her. No place whatsoever." So he says, "But I will help you everywhere. I will come to your help." He says, "It's right, I know." He says, "I'm Mr. Islam, and I will solve all your problems for you." He says, "Mr. Islam," and he says, "I've come now with Mr. Ramzan also. And now extra bonus also, that I'm here, even the doors of Jahannam, I'll close them for you. Doors of Jannat will be open. The Malaika will be saying Ameen on your duas. At night Allah will readily accept your duas." What lot of virtues. So he says, "Mr. Islam, Mr. Ramadan, I love you very, very much. But I got no place for you in my life. You stay in the masjid. I will come and visit you regularly. There 5 times a day I will come. And in Ramzan, I will even bring iftari for you. I will bring samosas, I will bring pies, everything. But I'm sorry, I can't take you in my life. In my car, I can't take you. Or like at home, we say, Ramzan, you stay in one room. I'll give you the best of sehri, I'll give you the best of iftari, everything." And here also, one point that we should learn, that Ramadan, don't make Ramadan happy with samosas and pies. Ramzan doesn't get happy with samosas and pies and with all delicious food and that. Ramzan gets happy with tilawat of Quran Sharif, with zikrullah, with obedience of Allah. From there learn a lesson also, whoever we want to make happy, our parents, the husband wants to make his wife happy, wife wants to make her husband happy, we want to make our ustads happy, our seniors, our sheikh, then don't see what we think makes them happy. Try and assess what will make them happy, in what is their comfort. Sometimes we do things and we are causing more harm and we are causing them more inconvenience. For example, one sheikh was lying down, he wanted to rest now, but the murids were all just around him all the time and they were pressing his body, etc., everything, but he wanted to rest at that time. So don't see what we like to do, see what the person would appreciate. So he told them, if you leave now, then I can rest now. Then they weren't listening. They still, they want to make themselves happy, make more khidmat. So one of the khadims, who knew the mizaj, the temperament of the sheikh, he asked the murids to leave, one by one. So they all left. Then afterwards he asked, must I close the door? So the sheikh says, yes, you go out and close the door. In other words, he wanted him also to be out. So sometimes we think we are very VIP, we are very much needed. So don't do what we think, what we like. And that I did this, I brought this, I did that. Also, that's our Shaykh Damat Bar Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Hadrat gave the example, he went to Bangladesh, and there lungis are very common. So every person to make Hadrat happy came with a lungi. So Hadrat said, when I go back to Karachi airport, customs will think I'm a businessman. I brought 500 lungis, I'm going to sell lungis here. So don't do what we feel, what we want to do. See what the person, what will make him happy. That is very important. So, Hadrat with regard to Ramadan, we feel that Ramadan is feasting, having wonderful food at iftari, wonderful food at sehri, all the time. And before Ramadan starts, eat shopping already. And then last 10 days, how many people go for shopping? Women even miss their rozas, first rozas, because of shopping. So how can this, Ramadan doesn't get happy with all this. Must observe Ramadan as it's supposed to be observed. So anyway, we don't want to put off our TV, the WC, the toilet is got more interest in us. We want to know what's happening there, not what's happening in our heart, what's happening in the masjid, and we want to make ourselves happy. And with Ramadan, we just make it happy with some sehri, with some iftari. We just keep some rozas just like that, without really observing what roza is, which we are trying to explain during these days. So then he said, I got no place for you. You can stay in the masjid, I'll serve you, I'll give charity also, I'll do everything, but don't come in my life. Don't tell me to put the TV off. Don't tell me I must dress like this. Don't tell me I mustn't mix with other women, etc. Don't stop me from anything. You stay, I love you very much, Islam. You are very good. And Ramadan even extra. But don't come in my life. So he said, okay, you got no place for me. So he went on. Next traffic light. Again somebody was asking for left. So he told that, no place. I got Mr. Dollar I had to put in a back seat. I got Mr. Pound with me. Mr. Islam, I love him so much, but I haven't got place. I couldn't take him. Where am I going to take you? And that person had some torn and tattered clothes also. It's impossible. So he said, okay, if you haven't got place for me, I'm Mr. Malakul Maut. I got place for you, and I will take you now. So his wife also shouted from the back, yes, take him quickly. Because of Mr. Dollar and Mr. Pound, he put me right in the boot. So take him quickly. So it mustn't happen like that. That Ramadan has come to us, and we got no time for Ramadan. We tell Ramadan, we'll look after you. You stay in the masjid. You stay in one room in the house. You don't interfere. That my rozas don't tell me I mustn't see what I want to. TV, what I want to see, I mustn't see. And all other things, and don't tell me that I mustn't speak what I want to. I will feed you, I'll bring everything for you, but don't interfere in my life. If we're going to do that, then we won't get the benefit of Ramadan. And don't make Ramadan happy how we think we want to make Ramadan happy. But what Ramadan gets happy, make Ramadan happy with that. And all the things which we know what we have to do, observe our namazes properly, make lot of tilawat, lot of ibadat, and most important, stay away from all disobedience of Allah, from all sin. Ramadan gets very happy with that. And then Islam, Ramadan, will see to all our needs of this dunya, of akhirat also. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand. The example is an example, but the lesson is important, inshallah. We were discussing about the tongue, and just to complete a few points, that with the tongue, the negative things that we shouldn't do, we spoke about. We shouldn't lie, we shouldn't slander, we shouldn't backbite, etc. We shouldn't be blabbering, talking all the time, etc. So what should we be doing? Use our tongue. Allah has given us the tongue. Use it. Don't abuse it. Use it for what it is meant. For tilawat of Quran Sharif, especially in this month of Ramadan. For zikrullah. For dua. To make nasihat to somebody. Give him advice. For amr bil ma'roof. Nahi anil munkar. And to make waaz and bayan. For all, there are so many things that the tongue can be used for. Use it in the right things. And the small little tongue, if it's used for the right, where won't we reach? Quran Sharif, even if when we are going for wuzu, don't waste time. If we are in etikaf, we're not permitted to waste even a second unnecessarily. How much is necessary, by all means, don't spend extra time in the toilet also, wuzu also. But during that time, we can be reading the four things which are so important. La ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'alullah al-jannah, wa na'udhu billahi minan nar. We can be reading Durood Sharif. We can read Alhamdu Sharif. 150 letters. For each letter, if we haven't got wudu, 10 sawabs we will get. 1,500 sawabs we will get. And really, like any person, we go shopping, anything. Now he runs short of money. He say, if I should have brought more, then I should have been able to. I'm seeing this thing here also, this gadget here also, that electronic device, this here, that there. If I had more money, in Jannah, we are going to need this currency. And the one who has got the biggest currency, he will be able to go to the top malls of Jannah, and the shopping places of Jannah, and all the ni'mats of Jannah. We will be able to get how much currency we have got. And in Ramzan, our currency is increased so tremendously. And for each letter of the Quran Sharif, if we listen to somebody, one sawab for every letter. We read ourselves 10 sawabs without wudu. With wudu, 25 sawabs. We read in namaz, nafil namaz, 50 sawabs for each letter. And if we are standing in nafil namaz, 100 sawabs. And then this is in nafil. And whole life's nafil cannot equal to a faraz. So in the faraz, if we just read Surah Fatiha, read Surah Ikhlas, Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, how lot of sawab. So use the tongue for all the right things. There are so many good things. Read Durood Sharif. Allahu Akbar. Durood has got such great value. Make tawbah, istighfar. Read istighfar, my tawbah, third kalima, one subhanallah, falls from the earth to the heavens. Subhanallah walhamdulillah, falls the whole pain of good deeds. And don't ever be let shaitan fool you, and you think that when there's so much sawab, I got so much. No, the currency of Jannah, it's a very high currency. In the world, perhaps the pound is the most highest currency. But that is nothing compared to the currency of Jannah. And the things of Jannah are very, ala inna sil'atallahi ghaliya. It is very, very expensive. When we need this heavy, big currency in order to get the things in Jannah. If we go and buy something and we are short of our money and now we can't buy that thing. You are so desperate over the weekend, you wanted to work in your house, on the car, you wanted to do something. And you went and buy the article, and you took less money. And the shops closed on Saturday at 1 o'clock, you couldn't buy your thing. Now the whole, your weekend, what you planned, you can't do anything. Yes, still, you can do it the next weekend. Or 5-6 weekends you are occupied. The next weekend after that you can do it. Jannah will never be able to come back and get more currency. This is the time. And Ramzan is the main time to make our currency. So Allah gave us the tongue, and with the tongue also we can acquire great currency all the time. So use it. And the tongue, we can use it and acquire currency, and we can not use it and we can acquire currency. Where you have to keep quiet, and you'll be acquiring currency. Ya Aba Huraira, ittaqil maharim takun abadan nas. Just keep quiet. Our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, for some people, he said, for them to sleep is a great ibadat. Because when they awake, they just talk. And they're just doing wrong things. For them, sleeping is a great ibadat. So the same good is a very great ibadat. But if you are such, keep away from extra talking, then don't talk. Keep quiet. That is your ibadat. And it's a big ibadat also. And especially when you really are angry and you want to say something, you want to swear, you want to become vulgar, and you restrain yourself, you're keeping quiet at that time, is a very, very big ibadat. Somebody is talking and they backbiting about somebody. To listen also is not permissible. You are equal in the guna. And for that, like if somebody, you are sitting with your friends, few people, and they are backbiting, then if you have got the courage, tell them, no, don't backbite. Backbiting is haram. Or if you can't, put it in a nice way. Then change the subject. Try something else. You can't do that also, then you get up from there. And you go away. And if you can't do that also, then like don't pay attention to what they are saying. If you haven't even got so much courage to get up from there, with the excuse on to go toilet, whatever it is, make some excuse, but don't sit there. And for example, you're in a car, and you have four or five people in the car, and somebody is backbiting there. Where are you going to get off from the car? You have to sit there. So there you try and tell them, they don't want to listen, change the subject, or whatever it is. And if not, take out your tasbih, you start reading. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali used to travel by bus. Many times they got the music on. And they'll never stop. You ever go and tell them, or everyone in the bus wants music. You two, three people don't want music, they're not going to listen to you. So Mufti Sahib should take out his tasbih and keep on reading. Don't pay attention to it. So that is one thing. If you're in a place where there are a lot of women and your eyes are falling, don't focus on them. Your eyes are just falling, but don't focus. Don't let it register in you. If you become helpless like that, that you got control over yourself. That, and just like that, a person, if he's forced to say the words of kufr, then Islam has given permission. If your life will come, if they want to take your life, it is permissible. But وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. But in your heart, you got your iman. But there also, the last and final word of the ulama is that rather don't say the words of, rather get killed. Because if they keep you in that environment of kufr, in your heart you got iman, you will die. But for example, a mother, a father, the children, they never hear you reading Quran, namaz, because they'll kill you if you say any words of Islam also, then they will go into Jahannam. So rather you die, that is better. Let them kill you, but don't say the words of kufr. Though permission is given, you can say the words of kufr at such a time. So even in all these things, the best is that you don't get involved in such things. And if you have to, you get that helplessness, then take out your tasbih, take out your Quran, read your own, carry on with your own things. Don't be part of that. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, that we can look after the tongue. The next point that we would like to discuss with regard to beautifying our rozas, purifying our rozas, making profit in our rozas, beautifying our homes. We've got the structure. With our farais, we've got the structure. The house is made. But everyone wants more beauty in the house. He wants it to be carpeted, he wants it to be tiled, he wants all extras also. So the extras in roza also. And the one we spoke about, the tongue, we should safeguard. The next is the eyes. That is also very important. For if the eyes are not functioning right, for example, for motor car license, you have to go through an eye test. Many people are color blind. You'll see the red as green and green as red. A person whose eyes is color blind, he can't see colors. When he comes to the red traffic light, then there he's driving past. And he comes to the green traffic light, he gives a sharp break, he stops there. He's such a big danger on the road. Also, what is tested if you go on to driving license, that if you are looking in front, your eyes, vision must go to a certain angle on the side also. Like if another car is coming, your eyes must be able to pick it up. But the person who has got a defect in his eye, he can't pick up that car coming. So you don't know a car is coming. And you turn to the on the right side and there is a car. You'll make an accident. Your eyes have to be right. Your motor cars, indicators have to work properly. If you got an auto electrical fault, There is an electrical fault in your indicators. You put the right side indicator on, but the left side indicator goes on. That guy is very dangerous on the road. You thinking, I'm going to turn to the right. And you put your indicator also for the right. Or some cars you are used to with the indicator handle on the right side, some cars it's on the left. And many times you make a mistake. You want to put the wipers on, you put the indicators on. You want to put the indicators on, you put the wipers on. And sometimes you put the wrong side indicators on. So you want to turn to the right, you put the indicator, you put the left one on. Or there is a fault in the car, the left one went on. So the car from the back thinks this person is going to turn to the left. So he's going to bypass you on the right and you are just then making a turn. He'll hit you and he'll hit you exactly where you are sitting. He'll kill you immediately. Or the opposite of that can happen. Or if the car has got a wheel alignment problem, the car is pulling to one side. And now you are driving, how lot effort you have to make. If the alignment is very much out, your tire is going to get finished very quickly, and you will have to put so much force controlling the car. So just like that, if your eyes are also, if the indicators of your eyes are not right, you want to look at your wife, but you are looking at your sister-in-law, your wife's sister all the time. That is so much more dangerous. Yeah, if a person makes an accident, lives can be lost. But there, your iman can be lost. Your jannah can be lost. You can land up in jahannam there with that fault. So how much more important, isn't it? If your wheel alignment is not right, and you want to look at your wife, but you are looking at your neighbor's wife all the time. What terrible disgrace, humiliation will come to a person in this world. And whichever woman you are thinking about, all women are not just easy to get. Some will give you a slap. Some will disgrace you in front of everyone. So if your eyes are wrong, and if you're looking at your wife, and you enjoy looking at her, your indicators are working right, your wheel alignment, you got jannat in this dunya already. What enjoyment you will get in this dunya already. So to correct the eyes is also very, very important. Many people, the eyes on other things. And besides, they're looking at human TV. It is, just to explain one, when TVs were still not even out long ago. So, one person, a very pious person in Medina Sharif, saw a dream that in every Muslim's house, Jews have entered in the house. Jews are in control and running the affairs of the house. So the next day after Maghrib, he was going home and he saw in the shops they're selling TVs. And the Muslims are buying them left, right and center. So then he understood the interpretation of the dream. That all the plotting and planning of the enemy, we have brought the enemy in our house. And we are giving him full reign. We're putting our brains in front of him. We're putting our heart, our time, everything. That the enemy, you tell me what to do. I'm prepared to listen to you. We don't know, this is a sugar-coated pearl. It is a poison, a sweet poison, this TV. Well, the greatest harm that has come to the Muslims has come through the TV. And from there, all the other things, whether it's on the internet now, whether it's on the phone, it is all the same thing. They are totally destroying and corrupting the minds. One school teacher, a lady, came home and told her students that they must write an essay, a composition, on what call it, any type of a composition that they want to feel important. So they all wrote. So the one student wrote, and she was reading it out to the father. The student wrote that in my house, that I wish I was a TV, he wrote. Because I see when all who come from work, everywhere from outside, first thing TV, put it on, sit down. And how humbly they sit in front of the TV. And their eyes are glued, their thoughts are glued on the TV. And then food they eat in front of the TV. He said, I wish I was the TV and they ate the TV and they ate the TV and they gave me so much importance. And they made me like this a VIP. And anyone make a noise, they shout the person, shh, Don't make noise. Don't make noise. Don't make noise. We are watching. We are watching TV. We are watching TV. Yeah. I wish I got all that. I got all that. I got all that attention. 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 If the TV gets broken or something, immediately, immediately, immediately repairs. He said, I wish if I had a headache or sick or something, stomach ache, that they would pay me, pay attention to me like this, how they pay to the TV. The TV doctor, no matter how much he charges for the repairs, they are prepared to pay for it. But for me, they are thinking that it's too expensive. Medical care is too much. They don't give me that, all that. So the father said, what terrible parents this child has got. This God. So the mother said, that's our child's essay. That this is how we are carrying on. And unfortunately, almost in every house. And how many people. Five times namaz, Hajj also, Umrahs also, Jamaat also, Khanka also. But the TV, that one eyed Dajjal, that we can't give it up. And this is total destruction to a person. And watching it, it is very bad for the eyes, bad for the eyes also. And very bad for the mind also. Scientifically they have proven that children, the parents who don't give care to their children, the mother particularly, to play with the child, to be with the child and everything, and they leave the child to watch and all this Mickey Mouse and all this other cartoons, they leave the child to see all the time. That child that does not get this proper attention of the mother particularly, even the father, you should play with the child, all everything. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, allow children to run, allow them to jump, etc. They get developed physically, mentally. But when they are left with a maid at home, a caretaker, or in a kindergarten, or in a nursery, they go and leave the child, or in front of the TV, that child mentally also is underdeveloped and physically also gets underdeveloped. So this is, and the amount of harms on this and whatever other, to look at amusement at the moment, this WC, which is really a WC, which is really a toilet, the World Cup, it's not no World Cup, it's no cup, it's a toilet. And that cup, nobody can even do his number two in there. It's not even fit for that. And for that, forget the amount of people and the tickets at what prices. This is all shaitan's ploys and how they have got the people involved. And in the month of Ramadan, so to be watching all this, it is all, control your eyes. Don't look at all these things. And you look, Quran Sharif you see, your eyes get strengthened. Your iman grows, noor comes in you. There is a story of a lady who didn't know how to read, very old, and she couldn't learn also. She just passed her fingers on the Quran Sharif, Hada Kalamu Rabbi, Hada Kalamu Rabbi, Hada Kalamu Rabbi. On there also, she not only forgiven, she got high darjas. What will you get from looking at all this filth and dirt, etc., whether it is on our cell phones? Today we came for i'tikaf. How many people in the i'tikaf on the cell phone, we're still watching all this filth and dirt? We are just destroying ourselves. And very sad that how many good people, learned people, they say this habit of ours is not going away. One very pious man, he has passed away now, a doctor. Everything else was all right. But he said, my TV, I need it for sports. This is all shaitan's deception. It is great, great destruction. Allah has given the eye, is such a great amanat, the eye. What a great gift Allah has given it. May Allah save us. And remember, Allah is very, very merciful. The clemency of Allah knows no bounds also. But when Allah wants to take a person to task, and if Allah have to say, you're looking at other things. In fact, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, what a great buzur. He made Hajj. When he made Hajj, every step he took, he made two rakats namaz. Every step. It took him 1400 years to reach there. Who can do that? On every step, and 14 years to reach Makkah Sharif. So anyway, such a great buzurg, when he was making tawaf, and he had left his kingdom, he left his family, he went and looked for Allah Ta'ala in the jungles. Sunle mere nale, sunle mere nale, mujhe apna le, mujhe apna le, O Allah, I want you, I'm seeking for you. You, O Allah, make me yours, you become mine, O Allah. How many years then he found Allah Ta'ala. And one incident with regard to that, before we carry on, to show the value of Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh. Now he left his kingdom, he was the king, and now his clothes got old also, and he just wore set, etc. All that royal clothing, Shahi libas, he left it behind. And he was sitting by the rubber bank, and he was sewing something. And his needle also, a rusted needle. So one minister who was in his parliament, when he was ruling, walking past, so that minister thought in his mind, that look at the stupid king. He had a whole kingdom. He never had to wear clothes that had to be mended. New clothes all the time. And if there was any repairs to the clothing to be done, shortened, etc., he had a royal tailor at his service. Just tell him. Now here he's sitting on his own and he's sewing. Allah gave him kashf. Allah put in his mind what this minister is thinking. So while the minister was there, he took his needle and he threw it into the rubber. And he told the fish of the rubber, bring my needle back. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi narrates this, with the rawi is strong. So the story is 100% correct. 100,000 fish brought out golden needles. So he told him, I don't want this needle, I want my rusted needle. One fish went and brought his rusted needle back. When he brought it back, then he turned to the minister and he said, which kingdom was better? Was that kingdom better or this kingdom? What a kingdom Allah has given me here now. So this is when a person finds Allah. Anyway, so what love of Allah he had developed. And this is also something to understand what love is. So when he went, he was making tawaf. Now how many years had passed? He left his child, perhaps while he was just born, a year or 2 years, something, the child had grown up. So he saw the child also making tawaf. Now grown up boy, oh, big age now. So then naturally blood is thicker than water. He got, this is looks like somebody like my blood. Our Shaykh rahmatullah Ali also explains that one old lady was sitting outside her front door on the stoop, veranda. And she was doing some work, whatever, old lady. So she saw somebody passing by and she called him and she said, you want a cup of tea? So he got surprised. I'm a stranger. So why are you giving me? He said, you just look like my son and you reminded me of my son. So that pulls a person. So Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh saw this person, his son it was, but he didn't know. And he got pulled towards him. So then Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala caused that boy to die there and there, immediately. Why? Because this is his love for Allah was such a death level that Allah could not tolerate that the love of anyone else must come in his heart. Though 100% you make love to your wife, Allah writes it in his account. You make love to your family, Allah writes it in his account. But these people who are at that level, we can't even imagine or think what that level is. So this is that love of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah does not, this eyes Allah gave to see Allah Ta'ala. And Allah's system is, when you close your eyes to dunya, then Allah opens your eyes to akhirat. When you close your eyes to the beauties, and which are actually the filth and dirt of this dunya, then Allah opens your eyes to His beauty. Just like a glass, if it is dirty on the outside, it's not dirty inside. You are eating and you took the glass to drink water. So what was on your hands, that marks come on the glass. We say it is dirt. But were you eating dirt? If you are eating dirt, then the glass has become dirty. You are eating food. It's the marks of the food. And not inside the glass, it is out of the glass. So that glass, we don't want to give somebody to drink in it also. We say bring another clean glass. And if you give it to somebody, the person also feels offended. You gave me in a dirty glass. So the heart which is dirty inside, how will Allah come in that dirty heart? The eyes that are dirty, how will Allah come into those eyes? With a dirty heart, how will you come? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah Ta'ala called him and gave him Torah, 30 rozas he had to keep. Another 10 rozas when he had to purify himself. He was a Nabi of Allah. How pure wasn't he? But for this maqam, how much more Allah wanted him to be purified. Then he could. So to get Allah, we have to purify. With our eyes filled with all the dirt and filth, and we want to see Allah, and we dreaming we are seeing Allah, and we have got Allah, it's a fool's paradise we are living in. With your dirty, filthy eyes, how can we see Allah Ta'ala? When Musa alayhi salam, Allah said, Lan tarani. You cannot see me. And our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi explained, when Allah just put the tajalli on the mount, on the mountain, it broke into pieces. Commonly all ulama, mufassireen say, because it couldn't take the tajalli, the light of Allah was so strong that it couldn't take it. But Allahu Akbar. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi explains, why it broke? So that Allah's nur must come right deep into it. Every way it must go into. So it broke, not just on the top it must stay. It must go throughout, everywhere. So this is where, and to look at other women, Allah has made this a desire, which is in every man. And those men, whether they are big buzurgs and Sufis, and say they don't have desire, either they are lying or they not men. They some other species. They not farishtas also. And so there are some other species that they got no desire for woman. Allah has put that, and that test will remain. Even if you become 90 years old and you are more cold than a deep freeze also, that nothing happens in your body. Whether even a hoor of Jannat come and sit in your on your lap, no movement in any part of your body. You just remain like that. Then that person there is either a farishta, he has already become a... But if he's a farishta, he mustn't eat, he mustn't sleep also. Farishtas don't eat and sleep. Otherwise, if you put butter in front of fire and it doesn't melt, it's not butter, it's something else. So this desire Allah has kept, and the taste Allah kept, with that desire, don't do anything wrong. And that desire is not haram. That desire is not a guna. And that desire is not, it's a natural, Allah has put it in a man. But to act on that, if your car haven't got an accelerator, it's a useless car. One person bought a BMW, and then he phoned to the company the next day. He says, I've got a very big complaint. I got a, what kind of BMW you people selling? I asked, why, what's wrong, what happened? He said, it only works in the day it moves, at night it doesn't move. Oh, no, how can that be? He said, yeah, that is how it is, it works only in the day. So he said, how? He says, in the day, I put it in drive mode, day mode, so it moves. And at night I put it in night mode, neutral, it doesn't move at all. The sky, yeah, for night mode I put it in N. Night mode, it doesn't move. Only in the day, when I put it in day mode, then it moves. And he says, I was at a traffic light, and one person with an old broken car, he said, I want to race you. He says, I got a BM. I will race you, no problem. So I put it in race mode, reverse. And the next, I heard a big bang at the back. So if we use the car wrong like this, then how can we get any benefit out of it? So our eyes, which Allah has given us, use them for the right thing. They are very, very valuable, the eyes. And use them for the right thing. And Allah gave us our eyes free of charge. If we have to lose one eye, may Allah save us all. In an shooting accident, motor car accident, all what medical science, no matter where they have reached or where they claim they have reached, they can only give you a glass eye. And that also at a very high cost. And with that glass eye, you can't see anything. The whole world seeing your eye, with your eye you can't see anything. And Allah gave you two eyes free of charge. Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi rahmatullah alayhi, Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi's son said, why Allah gave us two eyes? One eye was enough. Everyone should have one eye in the middle. It shouldn't be odd. We all should be used to it. But why Allah gave us two eyes? He said, with the one eye, look at your needs. All your needs, you go, you have to drive, you go to town, you go to shop, you do your business, you do your cooking at home. Everything, one eye is enough for that. The other eye Allah gave us to see the needs of the poor people. But today we don't see the needs of the poor people. We're using both eyes only to see our eyes. Allah gave us two hands, one to earn, one to give. But we're using both hands to earn. We are eating with both hands. We are earning with both hands. We are not giving anything. So we should all learn. And the wealth which Allah has given a person, no matter how wealthy, it isn't his own. It is given by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And to fulfill, and Allah has kept a right in there for deen also, madrasas, masjids, etc. Allah has kept a share in your wealth for the widows, orphans, those people who are difficulty, hardship. Allah has put a share. And we, the people, the rich people are given wealth because of the poor. So that you must give it to turzakun bidu'afaikum, by those people who, two brothers they were. One brother used to earn his business. The other brother should just make ibadat, etc. So the brother was earning, came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my brother, he lives on me. He's like a parasite and he's not earning. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are getting your rosy because of his barakat. And with our eyes we have seen those families that where a retarded child was born in that family. Immediately Allah opened the doors of rosy on that family. They were poor and now Allah gave a retarded child. And also this is a system of Allah which I have seen. Wherever the people are rich, they've got some problem, some mental case in that house, some person who is retarded, etc. And normally the poor people, they are, Allah gives them healthy, they haven't got money. Which you can see for yourself. Which a common example I give, Azadville is known as an affluent society. But in the morning, all are rich when they are going to work, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. If you go at the exit points of Azadville, and all the cars of people going to their shops, etc., you won't see a smile on anyone's face. All are glum, not a smile on their face. Now the whole day they earned. Now when they're coming back 5 o'clock in the afternoon, now they should be happy, they've earned a lot. But you see there, not a smile on anyone's face. And just go to the squatter camps here. Anytime, day or night, you'll hear them laughing, talking, the children, the people, everywhere. So riches, wealth is not the thing that sorts out our problems. It is Allah Ta'ala, that huwa alladhi adhaka wa abka. Who he wants to, he makes laugh. And who he wants to, he makes that person cry. Whether you got money, Allah can make you cry. And how many people cry in spite of all their money? And how many people are laughing in spite of the fact that they haven't got anything? We get surprised and we see that many people want to do social welfare work and help out the poor people. You say, but they live more happily than us. Though they haven't got anything, but they are happy. And we got everything and we are fine. With riches comes jealousy. With riches comes hatred for one another. And with poor, when there is poverty, then there is always more mutual love, more understanding. So anyway, the eyes Allah has given us is a very big gift and it's a big amanat also. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, آنکھوں کی چوریہ اور دل کی راز سب تو جانتا ہے اے بے نیاز. So Allah said, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah knows the khianat of the eyes. So this proves that the eye is an amanat. When you don't use it right, you have made khianat in it. We know any person who is in charge of public money, whatever it is, masjid money, madrasa money, anyone, and he doesn't use it right. He uses it for himself, he uses it for wrong things. We say that he has made khiyanah, and we all look down on such a person. But with money for Allah, for the masjid, for the madrasa, and he abused it like that, we all look very much down. Like that, this is also khiyanah. When we use our eyes wrongly, it is also khiyanah. Whether it is the TV we are looking at, whether it is all other entertainment or whatever, some show, some fair, circus, whatever it is, what is not permissible, it is also haram. To look down upon somebody, that is also haram. To look up at woman, that is also haram. So all this here, the eyes also is a big amanat of Allah. Allah gave us as a amanat this eyes. And if you use it right, what and what don't you achieve? And our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, used to say, Allah has shown His great mercy on us that He made looking at woman haram. Because that is the root. Everything that starts after that. From your eyes what you see, the picture then comes in your mind, comes in your heart. Then next is you want to make a contact with that woman. Whatever it is, by phone, by letter, you want to talk to her. Then your body, the physical, then you start becoming physical also. Then you get involved in all other haram also. And our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, he was a master in this field of making ilaj and treatment of the eyes. And in fact, Allahu Akbar, where Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ أَزْكَى. The most tazkiyah is in this. The person learns other tazkiyah to islah in many things. Tazkiyah of the tongue, tazkiyah of the heart. But Allah says, protecting your eyes is azka. Is ismi tabzil. The most tazkiyah is in looking after your eyes. And that is about the most strong mujahada. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that even if you become 90 years old, you become a Shaykhul Hadith, you become muhtamim of madrasa and of madaris, plenty madrasas. But the bimari, the sickness of the eye, it won't just go on its own. Until you don't treat it, then only it will go. Hazrat explains, once Hazrat was traveling by bus in India, and they were sitting on the back seats. And then on the right front seat, there was a young girl sitting, and an old man, about 90 years old, Hindu old man. He was sitting, and this girl came and sat there, and he was gaping at her, not looking, gaping. Not only was his eyes open, his mouth also open. And he's just looking, gaping at her all the time. So the conductor came and he told that Hindu man, Kaka, ticket le lo. Pay for your ticket, your bus ticket. Kaka is in a different world. He was shaking Kaka. Kaka, ticket le lo. Kaka doesn't know anything what is happening. He's just gaping. So this humiliation and disgrace comes. We know of so many families where the children are so angry with the father when his eyes are just looking around. The children hate the father for this act also. And the first person to notice that your eyes are not under control is the wife. She is the first one. You can lie, you can make your park damni, and that I'm very pure and I'm very clean, but the wife picks it up the first. And we will say she's being suspicious. She's just having unnecessary doubts. But where there's fire, where there's smoke, there must be fire. It is there. And a person who controls his eyes gets the love of his wife. Wife becomes his slave. Otherwise, the wife is your master. At the time of a marriage, a husband loses his bachelor's degrees. And the wife gains a master's degree. Then she becomes the master at that time. And my husband, who was a bachelor till then, he loses his bachelor's degree. So she becomes. But if you look after your eyes, one thing, that is one thing a woman cannot tolerate. And Allah also hates it. That my beauty, I gave you your eyes. I gave you my beauty to see. And what shortage of Allah's beauty in this world. How many, the sun rise, the sun set. That if you just look, visualize that how Allah made your heart, made your brain. See the qudrat of Allah. How many things Allah Ta'ala has given. Allahu Akbar. Just this one joint, if you look at it. If we didn't have this joint, and all these joints are perfect, the finger joints. No arthritis, no gout, nothing. And you took food in here. And this joint, if we did not have, try your utmost to bring the food to your mouth. Or take your mouth to the food. You can try all the time. If you are not shy, you can try now. If you are shy, then when you go in your tent, when you go in the toilet, but if you are in etiquette, don't waste time there. We're making that. And you can try the whole night. If you are going home, don't do it in front of the wife. Wife will say, iftari is ready, and what's my husband doing like this all the time? Go in the bathroom and put off the light also. And lock the bathroom also. Maybe she's peeping and she's seeing you taking long today and she wants to know what you're doing. And you're doing like this all the time. She's saying that this Maulana made jadu on my husband. What's wrong with him? But your whole life you can try. Allah gave us this one. See the joint of Allah Ta'ala. And just by easily how we eat. And how somebody fast they eat. And just eating one time. But we don't see the joint of Allah Ta'ala. And for this joint, our cars, every 20,000 kilometers, 6 months, need service. Did we ever get a notice or that it's not functioning properly? We must go for service now. Greasing and oiling we have to do, yeah. Whole life we are using it. 70, 80 years old, we are using this all the time. And the ball bearings also don't get finished. Whole life, that same joint. See the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah gave us eyes to see Allah Ta'ala. And we don't see Allah, and we look at the filth and dirt of the road. Those who are naked women, who are filthy women, who they don't belong to anyone. Everyone has disowned them. And you giving your eyes to them when Allah gave you this to see. See Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, that when a child is born, there are no teeth in his mouth. Because he has to suck on his mother at a very delicate part. If there were teeth, and some children sometimes get the one tooth, but earlier, and they bite the mother, how angry she, how it pains her, and how she screams. But the mother, Allah has put so much of love for her child, she forgives the child immediately. As a husband, you never ever try. She won't forgive you your whole life ever. But the child came out from her. And Allah has put so much love into that child. So she forgives the child. But because she didn't need her teeth, the child, so Allah didn't put it. And then the milk teeth come first. This is like a curtain raiser. Well, when a match is on, and if you see your mouth, it's just like a pavilion, like any stadium. And the pavilion that is like this, or all the seats around like a pavilion, if you open your mouth, you will see your jaws are just like this. But at the beginning, there are no spectators. Because now, first there is no match on. And then when the match is on, it's a curtain raiser, so the milk teeth comes. And the child is eating only Bordeaux biscuits, Mari biscuits, soft things the child is eating. And when the main match comes, then the main teeth come. Now the main match is on, so the actual teeth come. But that also Allah makes it. If it was according to our calculation and working out, we should say when a child is 1 year old, the tooth must be 1 millimeter. And when the child is 10 years old, 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter. And children, boys, girls get married round about 20, 25 years. So then the top tooth should be 2.5 centimeters, 1 inch. And the bottom tooth also 1 inch. And then the sunnah also, you must see the girl before you get married to her. So you go and see the girl and you say, she sees you with your top tooth 1 inch and the bottom. And you smile also at that time. She'll exit from the other door that side. That my parents are getting me married to a human being or to a bulldozer. Or this earth moving machine, this big ganda big machine, getting me married. And no problem, you should also run, because she also should have so big teeth. And she should also smile at that time. Or she should scream and open her mouth. And you also should run. Who is it that bring the teeth at one level and whole life they remain like that? When you are a child, every year you have to buy new shoes. Your feet are growing all the time. And children, the wear and tear on shoes, children are normally very heavy also, kicking stones, not only a soccer ball, kicking stones, kicking anything they can find. And their feet are growing also. But it comes to one stage, now you for life you wear a size 7 shoe. You wear a size 8 shoe. If it should carry on, according to ours, when you are 5 years old, so this size shoe. When you are 15 years old, this size shoe. And when you are 50, what a big size shoe you should have to wear. Poor ball masjid, people should have problems making shoe racks. All coming with big shoes here. But who is it that brings you to a size 7, 8, 9, whatever it can be, and it stops there for life, it is there. See the Qudrat of Allah. And see where you reach if you use your eyes in the right way. And instead of that, in the most filthiest, dirtiest places you go and use your eyes. The worst places. Hazrat our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that if any rep, a business rep or what, person who comes in serves you with goods and shows you the samples, he's repping for a company, and what sample he shows you, you order, it's very good, and his very price also is reasonable or cheap, you ordered so much. When he sends the goods, he sends something else, inferior quality. You order German goods, he sends you Chinese goods. And now how angry, you won't want to see his face again. Forget doing business with him, you won't want to see his face again. So Hazrat says, Shaitan also, he shows us the sample. We say sample. A sample of the rep shows you. And in India, Pakistan, they pronounce it sample. So he shows you a sample. So what is a sample? That he shows you, a pull is a bridge. He takes you on the bridge. And then from there, he pulls you into the water, into the fire, into the sea, into the sewage gutter line which is running. He pulls you and he pushes you down there. This is what Shaitan does. He shows you that face of that woman, and finally he takes you to the most ugliest part of the woman. He shows you the, just the outward, the face, the smile, the attraction, that sample he gives. And with that sample he pulls you, and then he takes you to Jahannam. He takes you to the worst place. Somebody, we know, it happens. You won a prize and on the phone, you must come for and claim your prize at so and so place, but bring your checkbook with. Eh? If you won a prize, why you need your checkbook? And then they make you sign this what? Share? Timeshare. You sign a timeshare and you won a prize. And when you went to that resort, you can't even enter the resort. It's so filthy, it's like a pigsty. They bluff people. So the way they talk on the phone and the end result. So this is what is looking at this other woman. The beginning looks very rosy and it takes you right down. And disgrace and humiliation. You left your wife, your children, you went and get involved somewhere else. And then finally when your wife comes to know how every day these cases come out. And sadly in Ramzan these cases come out. And then that house is completely destroyed. Stay sincere. Stay faithful. And see what a life of respect you will get. So Allah has given us eyes. Is a big amanat from Allah Ta'ala. Use them in the right way. And then see inshallah. What were these eyes? Where you can reach. And don't become blind. And you go into a place where there are snakes and scorpions. A place where there is fire. Right in the fire of Jahannam. Don't become blind and reach there. Use your eyes for the right thing. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.